punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. It's Wednesday, hump day, halfway through there. Got lots of bowl games to go. Actually, we were talking about that. I was speaking with the sports authority for Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle, Skinny on the Sports, and there's just too many bowl games. And 43, is that right, Skinny? 43 bowl games, that's just too many. And I haven't seen a sellout crowd at none of them yet. Matter of fact, I know weather's got a lot to do with them, but wow. And then that one last night, I fell asleep before it started with Oklahoma State and Wisconsin. Woke up in the, about 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. OSU gave them a run there at the last, but anyway, both teams actually just weren't great last night. And OU's coming up tomorrow, and the big games this weekend, TCU and K-State and Alabama, a lot of Big 12 teams. But so far, I think we're 0-2 with the Big 12. So anyway, just too many bowl games, I think. Anyway, the text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. And welcome to the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour today. I'll have more on their beef here coming up in the next segment. But Taylor Ranch sponsors the cap I'm wearing. If you're watching on Facebook, can't miss it. John Deere green and big yellow letters on there. It'll know who the Taylor Ranch is. Anyway, Cattlemen's Congress is coming up, starting up here really quick. Have more about that coming up later on in the show. Let's get to the temperature. Currently, Hollis was up, and it just went out. I don't know if the Mesonet site just went down. It was 70 degrees. It was the warmest spot in Oklahoma. 69 at Eric, 69 at Arnett, and then now one comes up at Woodward. Guess Woodward's the hot spot in the state. It's 72 degrees. 66 at Slapout, 61 at Putnam, and we got 61 at Hobart. So it's a nice day, and I hadn't checked the wind. I've been inside here for a couple hours now. Let's see what the wind's doing. Yikes. A lot of high wind up in the Fairview area. Kingfisher 30 with 43 mile an hour gust at Fairview, 41 mile an hour gust at Kingfisher, 40 mile an hour gust at Woodward. Down here further in south and west, 24 mile an hour wind with 29 gust at Altus, 18 at Eric with 23 mile an hour gust. And then we have the I got the Mesonet up in Texas, about the same there, anywhere from 18 to 20 mile an hour. Norm up with anywhere from 25 to 30 mile an hour gust in that area. So anyway, she's windy out there. I'll have your long range forecasts coming up for you here later on in the show. We are live on Facebook. We're live on KECOFM.com. You can listen to us live on 96.5 KECO or even 100.1 KWFX out of Woodward. How about that? And where you can download the Paragon Communications app down on your phone. It's free. Listen to it anywhere you are in the United States, and you can go back in there. I got archives on every show that I've ever done, and there's a lot of shows on there. And I don't even know how many is on there. I'm not even going to count them. Let's just go with maybe 400 shows, whatever, 450, somewhere in there, 5 shows a week, 52 weeks a year. Anyway, got that going on. Let's check out some grain markets. Nothing unusual going on today. Everything is pretty much in the green. Live cattle and feeder are in the red, but not very much. The big market boys, they're all in the red. So, well, let's start off with the grains. March corn, 679, May 678, July 671. Man, it's getting closer to that $7 a bushel for futures. It's creeping up. Soybeans for January, 1496. March is 1504. May is 1510. Soybean meal is up considerably at 465.60 a short ton for January. March 460.90. May 452.40. Soybean oil, January 65.72. March 64.87. And May is 64.22. Hard red winter wheat, March 881, May 876. Oats for March is 374 and May is 368. Let's check out, see what cotton's doing. It's down a little bit. Both March and May futures are 84 cents a pound for CME cotton number two. Live cattle, December 157.05, February's 157.75. April's 161.72, June is 157.80. Feeder cattle for January, 182.97. March is 185.47. Lean hogs for February, 90.97. And April's 96.15. And May lean hogs are at 101.17. Natural gas is keep going down. It's at $4.63 for January. Crude oil for West Texas, February is at $77.93. It's down almost $2 today. So that's anyway, that's what's going on with your market. Well, as I said earlier, today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. An excellent steak leaves a lasting impression. A steak that is full of flavor, has juiciness, and is tender is an eating experience as good as it can still be and be remembered years later. Whether you would like to relive the mouth-watering event or experience it for the first time, Taylor Ranch can help with that. They work every day to create the tremendous eating experience by selecting genetics that enhance the marbling, ribeye, and tenderness of every calf. They develop every animal if it was going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch. Their beef is available in quarters, halves, or whole. Third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free, also available. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. That's Taylor Ranch beef. When I come back, I got a story to tell you about a judge in Texas that got caught with his hands in the kitty. He's a cattle rustler. Anyway, it's humorous that it's a judge, but it's not funny because I hate cattle thieves. So anyway, be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. The typical gas station is like a 35 micron filter. We run 10 micron filters in all of our stuff. So when we load our bobtail and all that, we filter it through a 10 micron filter. I'm pretty prideful, and the last thing I want to do is hear that someone got water or dirt in their diesel and they had problems and burnt their motor up or something like that. That's the last thing I want to happen.
So how does your more stringent filtering, how does it help your customers save money?
filters aren't cheap. Let's say over 3 years you change one filter, or in 3 years you change 10 filters. You know, I'm all about saving each penny, because that's all the pennies add up. That's where your profit is.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. And that's what we want. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference. Napa Auto Parts, 716 West 3rd, Elk City, Oklahoma. Napa know-how.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Currently at McLean, Texas, the humidity is 23%. Winds are out of the west at 28 miles an hour with wind gust up to 45. The peak wind gust today already at McLean is 47 miles an hour. Let's see what else is, that's it. They haven't been below freezing today, which is good. And, there's no 8-inch soil temperature for me to give you. So that's McLean, Texas. All right, here we go. I don't have any cattle markets this week, so you guys are just going to have to bear with me here. Cattle thieves are not at all uncommon, but one case reported on the in the past year is in particular got me thinking, is the Wild West still a thing? Anyway, the story surrounding a cattle theft in Southwest Texas seems straight out of Hollywood. A judge in the smallest county in the country, population 57, was arrested as a part of an alleged cattle theft ring. What? You said? This is my favorite story of the year, not just because of the details we learned about, but for more for what we were never able to learn. How about that? Can you smell cover up? Anyway, all right, imagine the scenario. Judge Skeet Lee Jones, 71, is arrested along with former Loving County Sheriff's Deputy Leroy Medlin, Cody Williams, and Jonathan Alberto. How about that? We'll go with that. Jones comes from a longtime ranch family and essentially serves as the county manager and judge. Since Loving County is the smallest county in the country, it means other county officials likely are related to Jones in some way. See where this is going? We found out firsthand how important that kind of arrangement can be. In the months following the arrest, I made an information request from the Loving County Clerk's Office seeking copies of arrest warrants and other documents as part of the public records request. In any other situation, a clerk would gladly hand over the materials. In fact, it's their duty. I received an email from the clerk who said, who I was told is related to Jones, saying I would receive a response by August the 16th, 2022. Let me get this page. It's stuck here. Anyway, hot dog. I was on my way to uncovering what this story was really about. August 16th came and went. My attempts to reach the clerk again were met with unreturned messages. To this day, they've never received the information or even a response from the clerk. Challenge accepted, he says. We continue to watch the case, if anything, because it's just plain intriguing. Major news outlets, including NBC, were given copies of arrest warrants and other information. Other published news stories pointed out to what was a long history of family battles and drama connected to the Jones family, all of which would make great fodder for a book, by the way. Just to review the details we have learned, Jones and the three men were arrested and booked on multiple felony charges of organized crime and livestock theft in connection with an alleged stray cattle theft operation as part of a year-long investigation into Southwest Texas. The local rancher, Jones, served as the county judge since 2007. The Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association told TDN Jones, Williams, and another one were each charged with livestock theft and organized crime, while Medlin was charged with one count of organized crime. The association said the charges were in connection with the alleged theft of a total of 7 head of cattle, including 3 by Jones and Williams and 1 by another one. So Jones and Williams each faced 3 felony counts of theft, according to the charges. It is alleged the men were involved in stealing and selling stray cattle. A spokesperson for the association told the investigation was ongoing and additional charges could be filed. In Texas, theft of one head is automatic third-degree felony punishable by 2 to 10 years in prison and up to $10,000 in fine and possible restitution if convicted. Organized crime charges are based on the seriousness of the underlying charge. In this case, a third-degree felony, which makes the second-degree felonies punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison and up to $10,000 in fine. According to Chapter 142 of the Texas Ag Law, if somebody finds a stray livestock, that person is required to report it to the sheriff or of a given county. A sheriff is then required to notify the owner of a stray animal that has been found on private property. Jones is the owner and operator at P&M Jones Ranch, which was founded in 1953 by his father, Punk Jones, and his mother, Mary Bell. Jones is not a registered lawyer, according to the Texas Bar Association, and Texas county judges oftentimes are not lawyers but serve as the head official of the county. Jones was sworn in as a judge in 2007. According to the Texas Commission on Judicial Conduct in 2016, they had issued a public warning to Jones regarding illegal rulings and issued by him in connection to multiple speeding tickets. Not only did he steal cattle, he's got a speed trap set up in that county. According to the commission, Jones offers a one-time deal of first-time speeding offenders to allow them to change their citations to illegal parking. The commission said in its finding that from 2009 to 2014, there was 90 citations that were changed. But some of the citations that were changed were for charges other than speeding. The commission concluded that Jones failed to comply with the law or failed to maintain a professional competence in the law of entering judgments, finding defendants guilty of illegal parking violations. Susan Hayes. Last but not least here, Susan Hayes, the Democratic nominee for the Texas Ag Commissioner, once represented a Loving County Commission candidate in an election recount before Jones's court. Hayes said that many of Jones's family's members hold positions in the county government making six-figure salaries. How about that? It must be a rich county down there, including Skeet Jones. With a six-figure income in the community where it costs nothing to live, how greedy can you get, she said. You really want to risk your position, your job, for freedom, for a few head of cattle? So anyway, that sounds like some Yellowstone stuff going on down there. Well, anyway, I'm going to keep up with that and see how that all pans out for them down there. Oh, crazy. All right, let's see here. Well, I'm thinking about it. The other day, we started the Today in Ag text group. And I know a lot of you have already heard it and text in and everything. But if you want to be a part of the Today in Ag text group, text in Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y, to 225-405-580. Let's start all over. Text in Jimmy to 580-225-9697. That's the Ag text line. And you will become an exclusive member of the Today in Ag text group. And what I'm going to do is when one of our sponsors has some wild deal that I know you guys can't resist, I'll text that to you. Or if there's some breaking news in the ag world, or if there's a wildfire going on somewhere in the Texas Panhandle or Oklahoma deal, I will send you an update on it. I'm not going to wear you out with a bunch of texts. So anyway, it's just going to be a fun group. And don't be bashful. Just text in Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y, and you should get a response pretty quick back saying that you are now a member of that group. And you'll keep up with what's happening on Today in Ag. How about that? All right, when I come back, we're going to talk about spring oats. I got some stuff going on with peanuts in this new bill up there in Washington. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. So we will be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Farming is the greatest family business in America. It's teamwork between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. Generation after generation of families working together to provide our local area with the food we need to live and grow our local economy. We owe a lot to our local farmers and ranchers. We're proud to be your bank. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there.
I'm Jill Duresha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in Southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. And we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 19th. For all you great stewards of the land, I'm Drew Cobb. 1,487 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 381 brought 268. 12 at 524 brought 201. 4 at 570 brought 194. 3 at 602 brought 185. 31 at 730 brought 179. 4 at 771 brought 178. 52 at 820 brought 179. 3 head of heifers at 400 brought 177. 4 at 451 brought 180. 8 at 519 brought 163. 6 at 564 brought 174. 7 at 581 brought 168. 14 at 604 brought 176. 3 at 630. 33 brought 172. Butcher cows were 5 to 87.50. Butcher bulls brought 41 to 95. Bred cows were 750 to 1775. Pairs brought 900 to 1285. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
-66 degrees here at the studio, 25% humidity. Here's your northwestern Oklahoma and northeastern Texas panhandle forecast. Let's go with Alva today. Currently, it is 64 degrees. There's no wind chill out there. The winds are out of the south-southwest at 16 miles an hour with wind gust up to 24. Humidity is 26%. Today, 69, mostly sunny. Tomorrow, 56. Not bad on the wind. Tomorrow's going to be a good outdoor game day. 7 miles an hour, 7-10 mile an hour wind, so not too shabby. Friday, 52. Low winds also. Saturday, not much on the winds, 56. Same thing New Year's Day, 58 degrees. Looks like a beautiful week after this wind calms down tonight. And so it looks like the wind will be calming down somewhere mid, early morning, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. So anyway, that's your forecast for Alva, Oklahoma. Also, welcome back to the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. I got a deal on the schedule coming up for the Cattlemen's Congress. It starts tomorrow, everybody. It's here quicker than you thought it was. Tomorrow at 12 o'clock, the gates will be opening for breeding cattle arrival. Charolais, Black Hereford, Limousine, Longhorn, British Whites, all kinds of them. And then the gates will close for the breeding cattle arrival at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. Friday, 8 a.m., gates reopen. They'll be arriving, cattle arrival for Angus, Hereford, and Red Angus. They'll close 6 o'clock Friday evening. Saturday, gates open for breeding cattle arrival again for Speckle Park. 12 o'clock, this ought to be cool, miniature Texas Longhorn Show and then the Texas Longhorn Non-Halter Show. And that's what's going on through Saturday. Tomorrow, I'll update you again a little bit on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And coming Monday, I'm going to plan on heading out there next week, be there next Friday. So anyway, hope to see some of you guys out there. Be fun to see some of the listeners. How about that? Anyway, great. I got high expectations for the Cattlemen's Congress this year. I can't see what the final tally's going to be on it. Last year was unreal, and this year I think it's just going to be just as cool. So, all right. Where do we want to go? I'm looking at this. Anyway, that's cattle and feed. Yeah, let's talk to Tyrone here a minute. Let's see if I get this right again. Bear with me here a second.
The U.S. Peanut Federation reports that the Congress has passed the $1.7 trillion fiscal year 2023 Omnibus Appropriations Bill. The Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2023 consists of all 12 FY23 appropriation bills, including $25.5 billion for agriculture, rural development, Food and Drug Administration, and related agencies funding bill. Included in the bill are peanut provisions proposed by the U.S. House Appropriations Agriculture Subcommittee. The chairman is Sanford Bishop of Georgia, and he supported the peanut industry in making this recommendation. The U.S. Peanut Federation said they supported research initiatives for aflatoxin and nutrition in those budgets. They're in the second year of funding. Total funding for FY23 is $4 million for aflatoxin research at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA Peanut Research Lab in Dawson, Georgia, and $1.5 million for the USDA Ag Research Service to work on peanut nutrition priorities. All of this part of this new $1.7 trillion omnibus appropriations bill. I'm Tyron Spearman for Southeast AgNet.
Thank you, Mr. Tyron. Appreciate that update. I love giving updates on peanut, what's going on with it, because everything going on out there effects is pretty good on that deal. Okay, so I got to thinking, you know, with this low humidity and wildfires we've been having the last 10, 15, 20 years, and we've had people, I've had some visitors on here from some of the prescribed burn associations. Well, I come across this article in Kansas, and Kansas can relate to us with wildfires, just like in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. So this is a really interesting article. I'll let you guys listen to it, but it's a it just describes almost exactly what we got going on in Oklahoma, and hopefully sometime next year in January or maybe first part of February, I can either get the governor or the lieutenant governor on here to maybe help define to us why certain things are hard to get out here in western Oklahoma. It doesn't matter whether it's southwest Oklahoma, northwest Oklahoma, panhandles, even in Texas. I mean, Texas has got it going on with their wildfire fighting deals, but, you know, prescribed burn associations will help prevent a lot of stuff around your buildings and your farms and stuff like that. But anyway, it'd be interesting to see what goes on. So I got this article from Tim Carpenter that just came out Monday, and I hadn't had time to put it on, so I'm gonna put it on today and let you guys listen to it.
Asen Nelson was among a dozen of so farmers and ranchers in Jewell County who agreed 15 years ago to form a prescribed burn association to grapple with a force of nature capable of destroying homes, businesses and lives while wreaking havoc on the landscape. Membership has grown to about 60 members who work together and share equipment to deliberately burn plant material that could feed unwanted wildfires on remote terrain far from big city fire trucks and full-time firefighters. The concept of burning to prevent fires can be a tough sell to some landowners who don't want to take part in clearing grass, brush and trees from their property, Nelson said. The work of the Jewell County organization and 13 other prescribed burn associations in Kansas has grown in prominence as the scope of wildfires intensified. It's been really great to see the progress we've made, Nelson said. The biggest thing? It's nice to see guys that would not sit down and drink coffee together, come together and help each other burn. They're getting bigger. Wildfires in Kansas have been driven by climate shifts that foster dry, windy conditions in zones with plentiful plant material. Since 2016, three massive fires in Kansas big enough to be documented by satellite have consumed more than 900,000 acres. That included the December 2021 four-county fire that relied on 100 miles per hour winds and dry vegetation to blow through 163,000 acres and kill two people in central Kansas. In 2017, there was the 450,000 acre fire that emerged in Clark and Comanche counties in southwest Kansas. The Anderson Creek blaze in 2016 blossomed out of Oklahoma to flash through 315,000 acres of southern Kansas. The Kansas Fire Marshal has documented an average of 6,000 woodland fires annually, but there is suspicion the reporting system only accounts for half of the actual fires. In July, Governor Laura Kelly established a task force dedicated to comprehensive examination of options for mitigating wildfire threats, upgrading the state and local emergency response to blazes and developing a better prescription for recovery of communities harmed by these disasters. Brendan Worth, a task force member and regional administrator for Kansas Farm Bureau, said the incidence in Kansas of 10,000-acre wildfires was on the rise and that trend would continue. This new normal should inspire changes in rural attitudes about the value in managing grasslands and cedar trees, he said. If you think it's happening more often, it is, Worth said. They're getting bigger and we have to learn how to manage them. Worth said during a Farm Bureau forum in Manhattan that folks couldn't afford to ignore the problem. Lack of action could compel adoption of state laws mandating prescribed burns, he said. No law is going to fix the amount of fires, he said. There is culture I think we can get our hands around to be able to change the concept of how we manage our properties, invasive species, cedar trees, overgrowth, across the state. The shape of reform. Mike Beam, Secretary of the Kansas Department of Agriculture and chairman of a wildfire task force assembled by the governor, said the group had met four times since July and was closing in on a set of recommendations for confronting the threat of wildfire. He said a uniform, statewide system of evaluating risk of fire would be useful. better accounting of wildfires would create a clearer picture of the evolving challenge in Kansas. Perhaps modest incentives could be offered to smaller fire departments to document the 50 or 80 acre incidents that tend to go unreported, he said. He said an underappreciated contributor to wildfires could be the poor condition of power poles extending to oil and gas wells. There is a feeling by some that may be one of our biggest risks of starting a fire when we get high wind conditions, Beam said. Beam said some states use tax credits to persuade employers to encourage workers be part of the volunteer firefighting services. The firefighting network in Kansas included 640 departments, but 13,000 of the 16,000 firefighters were volunteers. The cadre of people willing and able to volunteer hasn't grown despite importance of those services provided smaller communities. Another possibility would be to offer small units of government funds needed to match federal grants used in the recovery phase of a wildfires, Beam said. The task force also has considered the potential of a $3.5 million budget increase for the Kansas Forest Service, which provides backup for personnel fighting wildfires. It could be difficult to convince the 2023 legislature to vote for an increase of five times the current budget.
There you go. Interesting. Kind of the same thing we got going on down here. A lot of volunteers, fire departments needing help with maintenance and new trucks and our better trucks. And you guys done a wonderful job this year. And my hat's off to everybody that's, especially to the volunteers and also to the task force that have been around Western Oklahoma and Eastern Texas Panhandle. And also big thank you to all the people that's donated this summer or this year towards the causes of all the money going to all these fire departments, because it's been overwhelming. And is it enough? No, but it took a big chunk off of the big load off some of those fire departments' shoulders anyway. And the fire departments are doing a better job of doing some fundraising, but far as I'm concerned, they really shouldn't have to do that. We should somehow or another, as much money as especially the federal government waste, there should be some money in there to make it a lot easier on these fire departments. So anyway, when I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast.
This is Jerry Knight, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, December the 20th, we sold 714 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, December the 15th, we sold 2,922 kids and feeders for a total of 3,636 cattle for the week. Killing cows and bulls, 4 to 6 higher. Tuesday, better killing cows, 79.5 to 95. 10 cows brought 55 to 71. Bulls brought 85 to 107. 2 to 8 year old bred cows, 10.85 to 16.35. 9 and older bred cows, 7.85 to 9.75. 2 to 8 year old pairs, 11.50 to 16.35. Extremely good calf and feeder market. Feeders up to 5 higher, kids up to 15 higher. Steer calves, 3 to 350, 235 to 275. 4 to 450 steers, 231 to 267. 5 to 550, $2 to 244. 6 to 650, 170 to 186. 7 to 750, 167 to 177.5. 8 to 850, 174 to 176. And our 850 to 9 weight steers, 171 to 173. We sell 52 steers, one bunch weighing 427, bring 267. We sell 50 steers, another bunch weighing 511, bring 244. On our heifers, 3 to 350, heifers 203 to 213. 4 to 450, 185 to 216. 5 to 550, 171 to 183. 6 to 650, 151 to 167. 7 to 750, 152 and a half to 176 and a quarter. 7 heifers weighing 889, bring 153. And our 9 to 950 heifers, 153 to 164.50. We sell 50 heifers, one bunch weighing 411, bring 226. This is our last sale this year. We hope you have a very Merry Christmas and a great prosperous New Year. Thanks to all our buyers and sellers. Our first sale back will be Thursday, January the 5th. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. I'm Drew Cobb. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 16th. 1,979 head were sold. 13 head of steers at 387 brought 258. 7 at 401 brought 224. 9 at 473 brought 210. 4 at 564 brought 182. 5 at 632 brought 176. 22 at 645 brought 180. 3 at 685 brought 164. 8 head of heifers at 389 brought 192. 13 at 476 brought 169. 3 at 528 brought 166. 5 at 610 brought 163.50. 8 at 615 brought 157. 4 at 704 brought 156. 5 at 983 brought 140. Butcher cows were 5 to 87.50. Butcher bulls brought 41 to 98. Bred cows were 750 to 1775. Pairs brought 1100 to 1850. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
High school juniors and seniors, do you want a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes? Western Equipment, a John Deere dealer in Oklahoma, Texas, and New Mexico, is holding a Mechanical Aptitude Competition in Plainview, Texas on January 14th. Do you have common sense and know a thing or two about mechanics? If so, then this event is definitely for you. You can learn more about this event and register for it at west-equip.com/competition. Registration spots are limited, so grab your ag teacher, counselor, parent, or buddy, and we look forward to seeing you on the 14th.
Cattlemen's Congress is located in the heart of cattle country and is far more than just a cattle show. Join them December 29th through January 14th to see the newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and offers sales of elite genetics, something for everyone's operation. Join them January 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale info, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. Currently at Childress, Texas, it's 72 degrees. Winds are out of the west at 21 with wind gust up to 42. 41's been the highest one at Childress, and 8-inch soil temperature is 41 degrees, and there has been no time, not even 1 second, under freezing out there today. So anyway, all right, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And who are we going to pick today? Let's go with, we're not going with Elk City. Come on. Ah, there you go. Anyway, let's check out, let's go with Altus. I hadn't been with Altus in quite a while. 76 degrees at Hollis, by the way. Currently at Altus, it's 69 degrees. It must be some cloud cover or something. That's 7 degrees difference. Hollis ain't that far out west. Anyway, humidity is 24%. South-southwest winds at 22. Wind gust up to 27. We have 72 for a high today, mostly sunny. Tonight, 48 for a low, high winds. And then the winds subside before daybreak. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 63 degrees with the winds out of the west at 8 to 12 miles an hour. Friday, 61, northwest winds switching out of the south later on. Will be a beautiful day. Saturday, 63 degrees, low winds out of the southwest. And then again, New Year's Day, 67 degrees and mostly cloudy, but there will be no winds. How about that? That's for Altus, Oklahoma. All right. Okay. let's go here. I wanted to talk about some spring planted oats offers some possibilities for farmers. Due to several issues, there will be open fields this winter, and I have one that could be prime candidates for spring forage crop. Spring planted oats can provide many possibilities for farmers. Typically in Oklahoma, oats are mainly grown for hay, but they also can provide a quick grazing pasture that can bridge the gap until summer pasture is available, or even provide cover for a summer crop. While oats can be grazed, the crop cannot handle intensive grazing as well as some of the dual-purpose varieties of wheat and stuff like Triticale and wheat and rye. Typically, planting dates for the Oklahoma are mid-February through mid-March. A minimum average daily soil temperature of 45 degrees is needed to avoid germination issues, but wait until 50 degrees is reached would be more ideal. Sowing oats will be very similar to other small grains like wheat, but oats are a little bit lighter, about 32 pounds to the bushel. Seeding rates range from 80 to 120 pounds per acre, depending on planting condition and seed costs. Conventionally tilled fields often will have better stand establishment and earlier seeding vigor, but direct seeding with no-till can still be adequate when previous crop residues are minimum. I don't 100% agree with that. I've no-tilled a lot of oats into my ground down there in that bottom that's had a lot of cover on it, and I've had when I did get a stand, as good a stand as if it was tilled. Higher seeding rates often are beneficial to achieving forage production. Producers should note seed quality and adjust seeding rates accordingly. Ideally, germination rates should be higher than 85%. Spring planted oats usually will not tiller much, so adequate seeding rates can be critical to producing from a single stem plant. While selecting oat varieties, one characteristic to inquire about should be maturity. Short maturity oat varieties produce more grain. Medium and longer maturity oat varieties tend to yield more forage. And that may be where I messed up the year before last, because I got some high dollar certified seed and it was short maturity. So I may be what happened to me. Field research from Texas A&M AgriLife Extension confirmed these statements. Longer maturities will prefer when a one-time hay harvest. Spring planted wheat oats likely will yield less forage than fall sown winter wheat. Grazing forage production potential for spring planted oats will average 1,500 to 2,000 pounds of forage per acre. Actual rates of nitrogen should be about 40 to 60 pounds to produce this amount of forage. Doesn't take much. Since oat seedlings are not stress tolerant as wheat, it is recommended to wait until the crop is 6 to 8 inches tall before initiating grazing. About 30 to 60 days of grazing should be expected. Wander on down here. When laying down for hay, peak forage quality is reached once the crop reaches the boot growth stage. Harvesting between the late boot and the head emergence will optimize both tonnages and quality. Delay in harvest may head emerge may lead to more tonnage at the expense of quality, but windrows will dry down sooner. One field near Lubbock, Texas, looked at six hay timings from early boot to firm dough. At early boot, the hay had 18.4% crude protein. At fully headed, it was 13.9. In the dough stage, it was 8.7. There you go. Layer down before that head emerges, and you'll have way better quality hay. How about that? But the tonnage doubled from early boot to firm dough, okay? So I guess you got to make a choice there, but, you know, if you're looking for protein and it takes longer for it to dry when you lay it down, as they said earlier. Field research from K-State conducted near Hutchinson, Kansas, showed an average hay forage field at 4 tons per acre amongst the 20 different varieties studied. These hay field yields were obtained with 75 pounds of nitrogen applied pre-plant and an additional 50 pounds applied approximately 6 weeks after it emerged. If used for cover, seeding rates can be slightly reduced if goal is to simply protect the soil from blowing. If the goal is of the cover is to prevent soil water evaporation or even to shade out weeds, the seeding rate should not be reduced. There are some broadleaf herbicide options for spring planted oats. These include Group 4, 2,4-D, dicamba, and MCPA, as well as some groups as like Glean, Harmony, and Peak. Other broadleaf options include some pre-mixed products with 2,4-D, Wildcard Extra, Orin, Super Macy, and Trump Card. Unfortunately, there are not many herbicides options for grass control in oats. Calestra, I guess C-A-L-L-I-S-T-O, is labeled for crabgrass control. If it's less than 3 inches, it may result in temporary crop injury, so we don't gamble with that. So producers wanting to learn more about spring planted oats should contact their local OSU Extension office and get a hold of them to see how that's going to work out for you. Okay? There you go. Man, the text line is lit up for you today. Thank you, everybody, for texting in. I got 15 more new members to the text line, to the Today in Ag text group. Thank you. If you didn't catch me here about 10 minutes ago, if you want to be a member of the Today in Ag text group, where I'm not going to wear you out with crazy text, but 580-225-9697, text in the word Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y, and you will become a member of the Today in Ag text line. And when we got a hot deal out there I think you guys need to hear about, or something's going on, we've got it going on. Oh, looky here. I got a text from the one and only Lieutenant James. Holiday antlers, doe season ends Saturday. This Saturday, December 31st. Remember, no night shooting of coyotes or feral pigs is allowed during any open deer gun season. Night shoot of pigs and coyotes can resume starting January 1st. With all my love, he writes, Lieutenant James Edwards. thank you, sir, for texting that in. I couldn't remember. I thought it was over today or tomorrow, but it is. It's over Saturday. Saturday's the last day. Go out and lay some does down, get you some back straps and hindquarters. Make you some deer stew and them back straps. They don't get any better than that. Anyway, thanks everybody for becoming a member of the Today in Ag text group. I'll figure out what our first object will be. That deal with the 12-inch DeWalt chainsaws out at Atwoods, all that was Woodward. I don't know how they did at Woodward or Clinton or anywhere else, but they sold out here in Elk City, and they are nice. I got one. Sweet. They're sweet. That's all I can tell you. It, unlike those gas-powered chainsaws when I was cutting out ice, it wasn't slinging mud and ice and cold water in my face and all over me. It was just like zzz, 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 just like that, and I'm not going to repeat how that sounded, okay? Anyway, all's good on that deal. And then what else we got here? We got a couple minutes left in the show. Oh, yeah. Let's go over this real quick. The USDA has released their December cattle on feed report, which indicates the number of cattle and calves on feed for the slaughter market in the U.S. for feedlot with capacity of 1,000 head or more, total 11.7 million. Head on December 1st, that's down 3%. And guess who called that? Dr. Peel. They said the report was 2.5, but Dr. Peel thought it was going to be 3%. Go Cowboys, Dr. Peel. Anyway, other numbers from the USDA report show placements in feedlot during November total 1.93. And that's 2% below last year. Net placement was at 1.87 million. During November, placements of cattle and calves weighing less than 600 pounds was 540,000 pounds. Head 600 to 700 pounders was 465. 7 to 8s was 405. 8 to 9s was 290. And 9 to 1,000 pound weights was 135. and over 1,000 pounds was 90,000 head. Marketing fed cattle during the November totaled 1.89 million. That was 1% above last year. And marketings were the highest for November since the series began in 1996. How about that? All right, that's it for today. I got to go to a funeral. I don't like funerals, man. I'm sorry. I just don't like them. But my old platoon sergeant from the National Guard passed away on us a few days ago. Godspeed with his family, and I'm going to go to that. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.